Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael here with the Faith and Freedom Show here on the Eagle 104.3 FM and loving every minute of it. Yesterday, we were talking to somebody, Donnie Barber, from an organization that is called Sovereign Action Committee, and he had some information about what they were doing with some proposals of bills that they were trying to get forward to the legislature. And so that's an example of somebody getting involved with something that they think needs to happen. We got a call from a gentleman right near the end of the show, and when he was making some comments, he made some comments about things not, I mean, there's certain things that are happening in the legislature and things that certain people are trying to do, but he had a perspective that there's other problems. There are fundamental, rudimentary problems that that need to be dealt with. So I've got him on the phone here. I made sure I called him up and gave him an opportunity to talk to us again today. And, Dick, if you've got the radio on in the background, make sure you turn it off, or else we're going to have an audio loop going on here. But, Dick, thank you for coming today. And, again, you had some opening comments about really that you thought that there was a banking issue, a fundamental money system problem that was really at the root of the crisis of our day. So tell me about that.
Nice of you to have me on. I've been talking to, I've been in the financial services business since 1974. And, you know, insurance, mutual funds, annuities, all that stuff. And once I understood how the money system worked and what and how it operates today, back in the early 90s, I came to the conclusion that I could no longer sell those products in good conscience. I wouldn't sell them to my mother.
Okay, now right there, I'm just going to stop you because, again, that was a great background of your subject matter expertise, selling these kind of things. Tell us why you could not, in good conscience, continue in that in doing that.
Well, the money system that we have, and this may sound crazy to some of your listeners, but it is a form of witchcraft. And the founding fathers of this country hated it and condemned it. The Bank of England is the forerunner of what we have today here in the United States of America. And that's why they put the gold clause in the United States Constitution. Just read the quotes, especially from Thomas Jefferson, who predicted exactly where we are today. He said, if the American people ever let private bankers to take over the issuance of their currency, that the people in America would one day wake up homeless on the continent that their fathers founded, because the banks and corporations that grew up around a phony private banking system, those banks and corporations would end up owning everything.
Well, those are good comments, and I'm going to test some of your knowledge. Do you know much about Thomas Jefferson's situation where he was actually very prosperous until there was a point where they changed the money to a non-gold-backed currency? Are you familiar with that?
Yes, it was called the Continental.
Okay, tell us about it.
Well, fathers, in terms of as a short-term expedient to help win the war and get the Republic off the ground, they printed paper money. But once the war was over, and then it came time to turn the Confederacy, if you will, into a constitutional republic, the gold clause was included in the Constitution clearly, as stated by many of them, that, well, Daniel Webster said, nothing fools people like paper money. And, of course, we've had the paper money system really come in 1913. So here it is almost 100 years where the international bankers have had control over the United States. And, of course, Ron Paul, even today, he's the only one. He's got Senate Bill 1207. That he's trying to get through, which calls for an audit of the Federal Reserve, which has never been done.
Okay, I'm gonna get back to something you made just to wrap up a point that I was trying. I was gonna have you make it, and you did pretty well. A lot of people don't know that Thomas Jefferson, if you've ever been to Monticello, he ended up, you go to there and you find out the story that he ended up essentially bankrupt. He in great amounts of debt. And there were things that the Library of Congress happened almost like, well, let's have Thomas Jefferson almost like as a mechanism to pay off his debts. You know, let me give some things away. Let me auction some things. There was a lot of things. He basically ended with nothing, even though he gave so much. But what the problem was is when he tried to take a non-gold, a non-silver, a non-intrinsic value paper and spend it and pay off his debts, people wouldn't receive it. And so, in fact, I think there was a time when they wouldn't even take his money that actually had value. And so he ended up being obligated with debt later, because the money that he exchanged his gold for, the paper money that he exchanged his gold for, suddenly became worthless. And so when he could have paid off his debts, suddenly that his payments weren't received. So that's kind of a rough background of that situation. So as you're saying, is about 1913, suddenly we went into a funny money situation.
That's correct. And when the Great Depression hit, which was even Ben Bernanke, the current phony head of the phony money system, said before Congress, or he told Milton Friedman, I guess it was, the notable economist, that yes, the Federal Reserve caused the Great Depression, but we won't do that again. I've seen that put out on several websites here in the last couple of months.
Well, that goes to something that you said to me just before I called you, or called you back, is you said something about with regard to your job and the things that you were selling. You told me on offline that you could see the catastrophe that we've experienced here in this last year. You could see it coming, and that is sort of what drove you to abandon what you were doing. Can you explain to our listeners, who you're going to have some people that know about what you're talking about, some don't have a clue about the details. So try to appease your audience.
All right, let's do it this way. I would say the turning point of the 20th century, as far as America is concerned, was March 9th, 1933, when Franklin Roosevelt signed an executive order basically making it illegal for Americans to own gold. Now, the economists of today will say, well, we had to go off the gold standard. They explain it in terms that you get in a normal $100,000 college education today. But when you understand what actually happened, the federal government declared bankruptcy / national emergency. The U.S. Treasury was busted. Now, as we all know, nobody had any money during the 1930s. But all of a sudden comes World War II, and the United States builds 10,000 tanks and 20,000 aircraft, puts 15 million men in uniform. Well, wait a minute. Everybody's broke. Where did we get the money for World War II? The answer is the international banking system. Now, what happened in 1933? That state of, shall we say, bankruptcy / national emergency was done under what they call the Emergency War Powers Act and the Trading with the Enemy Act, which was passed concerning World War I to supposedly prevent Americans from profiting with trade with Germany. Well, they modified that thing for 1933, and guess what? The American people were included as an enemy.
Now, how do you say that? How do you reconcile that?
Is it all right? Without, I know time is of the essence here.
No, you're fine.
Give your listeners something they can check out for themselves.
Okay.
In 1972, the U.S. Senate issued a 600-plus page document, and this is called Senate Report 93-549. 600-plus page document. You probably have to go to a law library to find it, but I
okay, it's 93-549, you say?
Yes, 549er.
Okay.
Anyway, this document from the U.S. Senate explains everything that happened in 1933. It just took them, 30 years later to get around to kind of telling people what happened. But effectively, the United States government was bankrupt, and operating in a state of, as a bankrupt corporation. It's interesting, the head of the United States Treasury also has the title of governor of the International Monetary Fund, which is a private banking institution. Just like Mr. Geithner today stands there, he was a big shot with Goldman Sachs. Now he's Treasury Secretary. But anyway, so since 1933, the American government has been living on borrowed money. Now, just 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago, the head of the Dallas Federal Reserve Bank comes out and says that the United States is on the hook for about $100 trillion. $100 trillion. I mean, it's just such a staggering amount of money that there's no possible way anybody can pay it off. Now, once you understand how the phony money system works, where they create the money, but they never create interest.
So how do you pay the interest if it doesn't exist?
Okay, so then who collects the interest? The answer is the IRS collects the interest on the so-called national debt. And if you want proof of that, you can go to the Grace Commission, which was formed by Ronald Reagan. And the Grace Commission came back in their report and said that all the money the IRS collects just goes to pay the interest on the federal debt.
Well, hold that thought a minute, Dick. Hey, just to let people know what they're listening to, you're listening to the Eagle 104.3 FM. I'm talking to Dick. Can you willing to give your last name?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, go ahead and tell us your name.
Dick Gray, G-R-A-Y.
Okay, and
if anybody'd like to talk to me off air, it's 352-690-1788.
Okay, good. So that's Dick Gray. And Dick was a financial, I guess, a salesman of financial services and investments and things like that. And say again what it was, the specific thing that you gave up selling to people because it basically ended up violating your conscience.
Okay. Remember back in the 90s, the Clinton administration was talking about taking all the IRA plans and the 401k plans and all the pension plans and lumping them all together to save Social Security.
Right.
Okay. Well, basically what they're admitting to by even considering that is that every asset that you own that's tagged with your Social Security number is, because of this bankruptcy of 1933, the federal government operating as a bankrupt corporation, because of that bankruptcy, every asset you have with your Social Security number on it is subject to immediate seizure by the federal government. Isn't that comforting to know?
Well, we're going to take a break here, and I'm going to say something about that. Well, it makes sense. It's sort of like if you make yourself a ward of the state.
Yes.
Then essentially, it's just, and people can understand this, it makes sense to me. If you
hold on, Dick.
Hold on, Dick. Is what happens is, if you take your parents and you say, state, we can't afford to take care of our parents in this retirement home, and we want the state to pay for it, what the state does is it takes all their assets, because you're effectively saying, we've abandoned our parents, and all their assets are not theirs. You're asking the state to become their, that they'd be a ward of the state, so then the state will acquire their property. And so we're going to take a break right here, and we're going to be, when we come back, I'm going to have Dick. He's doing a great job. He's got some experience with this stuff. He was in the business, and he's going to explain things to us so we get a perspective from somebody who is down there on the ground dealing with this. This is Freedom Eagle 104.3 FM. Yes, it is. And we'll be back on this Faith and Freedom Show, and then our number eventually will be 888-850-1872. We shall return.